Off the Ball.
GAA.
In today's game, as a player, look, you need to be able to manage yourselves on the pitch, but management need to be able to get messages in and alter how you're playing if it's not working. And I thought Cork and Dublin for the whole 70 minutes played the exact same way, seeing that it wasn't going right and that it wasn't working.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Six Nations on Off the Ball
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of the Irish women's rugby team. Never stop competing.
This is News Talk.
Right then, the 2026 Women's Six Nations is up and running as of tomorrow. So France versus Italy gets proceedings underway at 12:25 tomorrow afternoon. That game is taking place in Grenoble. Then it's England versus Ireland, which is going to be the focus of this discussion at Twickenham. It's a 2:25 kickoff tomorrow afternoon, and then Wales versus Scotland at the Principality Stadium concludes proceedings for round one. That's at 20:05 tomorrow evening. Very happy to say we've got England legend Maggie Alfonsi with us. Maggie, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for coming on. And Ireland legend Fiona Hayes joins us as well. Fiona, welcome back. How are you doing?
Cheers, Owen. Not too bad. All good here.
So the big talking point, I guess, from an Ireland standpoint, and indeed from an England standpoint going into this tomorrow, Maggie, is still the continued boom around this England team and how easily they managed to shift tickets for a Twickenham matchup. It's probably a well-worn tale at this point, just the interest in the Women's Six Nations at this point. Over 75,000 tickets sold for this game. And if this can be seen as a sort of a homecoming, even though the World Cup final took place in this exact stadium, that's exactly what the public are buying into. They're looking forward to seeing a team who are unquestionably the best in the world right now.
Listen, it's incredibly exciting to think that the last time this England team anyway played at Allianz Stadium, there was 82,000 people. And to be able to back that up again, you know, first game of the Six Nations, to have over 75,000 people turn up is truly brilliant. It just shows the excitement, not just in the England team, but just in women's rugby. You know, there's a hunger for it. And after the success of the World Cup, we definitely started to create a momentum. And this first game of the Six Nations will be entertaining. You know, Ireland and England go back. They have lots of rivalry. A lot of the players, as we're just previously talking about, in both sides play in the Premiership Women's Rugby League. So there'll be people that lots of people will know. And it's just an opportunity to kickstart what is going to be a good competition.
Meg Jones, who's the new captain for England, was talking about the tournament blues, that you have massive elation winning a World Cup like that, a huge high, and then you get back to reality where you've gone from 82,000 to a couple of thousand in the PWR. The adrenaline isn't quite there. Is that something that you'll have experienced yourself as well, Maggie? And I think any sports person will realise that you have these peaks and you have these troughs. I guess it must also give the players a real sense of appetite going into tomorrow afternoon, knowing they'll get that adrenaline rush back again.
Absolutely spot on. It's like I call it the extreme tour blues. You go from like a huge high, and then it's very much like back to business as usual, where it feels like it's not the same. And it's really hard to emulate that. I remember when we won in 2014, you know, great experience, incredibly huge highs. And then you go back to playing your club rugby, which I absolutely love, but there was very minimal people there. And I think for a lot of the players, they have to adjust to that. You know, I think Ellie Kildun talked about it in one of her articles, you know, had 82,000 people at the World Cup final and then went back to play club rugby, first game against Bristol Bears. And there was 2,929 people, which to me, I still think is pretty good.
Yeah.
But for her, you know, that's a huge, big difference. And you have to find different ways of motivating yourself. But I think for a lot of the players, not just England players, but I think a lot of the players who are going to be competing in the Six Nations have to find their motivator, their driver. And you know, for a lot of people, it's the beginning of a cycle of another World Cup, you know, in 4 years' time. And for some people, they'll be thinking about the Lions taking place in 2027. So it's finding another driver. But this is incredibly exciting to be able to have that many people come out again and watch women's rugby. I think that would be, that in itself will motivate many players.
The tournament blues very much existed for Ireland as well, Fiona. I'd imagine when they come off, just that absolute barbaric game with France in that World Cup quarter final, that the come down from that must have been very, very real. And that's the brutality of tournament rugby, is that there wasn't an opportunity the following week. They had to wait until the 11th of April to get that opportunity. Such a long wait.
Yeah, such a long wait. And Maggie's talking about 2014. That was my only World Cup and they walloped us in the semi-final. So I remember that well. And so she's got it in one. I think it's that you're living together as well, Owen. So you're playing, you're eating, sleeping. Everything is so rugby orientated for those 2, 3, 4 weeks, whatever it is. So it's bigger than leaving a Six Nations because you're stuck together. So to come away from that, it's almost like you're mourning something. So you are certainly counting down the days till the next Six Nations. And I suppose from an Ireland perspective, Maggie won't see this now, and obviously England are way ahead, but a lot of teams would feel like this might be a chance to catch England on the back of I suppose such a high of a World Cup. A couple of people have retired. There's a good few pregnancies in the group as well, and obviously I understand it's in this day and age it's very hard to beat that England squad, but back in my day we always felt like on the back of World Cup it is a reset and a chance to really go after the champs.
On the Twickenham factor for Ireland, last time they went there, things didn't go so well in the Six Nations. 88 points to 10 was the full-time score in 2024. Do you think they'll be able to handle this scenario a lot better tomorrow, Fiona?
Oh yeah, absolutely, Owen. I mean, I think I was covering that on TV. It was absolute torture. There was girls crying in the studio and everything. I remember it was just absolutely shocking stuff. And it was just that high performance environment that we talked about England being in. It was nothing got to do with the players. It was just a reality of what we weren't getting, or it was just starting to kick in back then. Certainly, looking, and myself and Maggie were talking about it, I did a bit of coverage on the Celtic Challenge. That has come up huge, the standards, the rugby being played, and the players in it. Now, Welsh players, a few of them are being released back into it, same as Scottish players. So they've been playing a lot of rugby, and that PWR, Nivo Dowd, we know she went over to start the season, Brittany Hogan went over. So these players are playing rugby week in, week out. I know with that cohort in 2024, Owen, there wasn't a lot of rugby being played. They weren't being released back other than the Six Nations, maybe a couple of Interpros games, and they were just playing bits and bobs and sevens. So I'm so excited on the back of that performance down in Cork. Yes, they were beaten well in the end, but I thought they did rattle England for brief periods and in certain areas of the game. And I feel like this game in front of 75,000 is a game the girls will, for the first time ever, will have no fear about, and the excitement will be huge. They need to bring a big performance. Maybe not the score, you know, they mightn't get the win, but I think there will be a huge performance.
Yeah, the Celtic Challenge point is an interesting one, because it felt that this Ireland team came into last year's Six Nations on the crest of a wave after everything that had happened in the WXV the previous October or November in Canada. And maybe because of the standard of club rugby that the players were playing in the intervening few months, it just felt like they got off to a very slow start against France in Belfast. Yeah. Is that fair to say? And are things different 12 months on?
Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you. Last year, there was probably, I think, one of the scorelines, the Wolfhounds against maybe a Scottish team was 101-0. They were winning 86-0. They were overloaded with internationals, and probably the other teams were looking at as a universities team. So what they got from that tournament to go into the Six Nations wasn't enough. They've kind of revamped the Celtic Challenge. The Interpros are getting more competitive. So the four provinces now are really, really competitive. On the back, obviously, on the back of the last World Cup, those players missed it that weren't there. So I think this summer it'll be huge again, because you'll have all the players in Ireland playing. So I just feel like it was that game time I was talking about, Owen. Once they got that, and the levels of Britain Thunder, you saw Edinburgh, they had just come up hugely. And every game was almost competitive in the last six rounds.
Maggie, England are attempting to win an eighth Six Nations on the bounce. Your generation knows exactly how tough it can be to win eight on the bounce. Seven is where it capped out. Not a bad number to get to, but could there be a similar twist in the tale for this generation?
I don't want them to be what we did. No, I'm just joking. I do. I think it's incredibly exciting to think that they're on this this fantastic momentum of just maintaining this success. You know, the last time they were beaten was at the World Cup in 2022 against New Zealand. And the last time they're beaten in the Six Nations was back in 2018 against France. So this England team is full of confidence. And I guess what John Mitchell has created has been quite special. He's got this really, I guess, special culture within the squad that's really been embedded, and central on key players like Meg Jones really sort of emphasize that. You know, it's that togetherness which has really grown with this England side. But they're setting their targets. You know, Meg Jones and same for John Mitchell have come out and said, like, our big goal is actually now to be the first England team, men or women, to win a Six Nations after Rugby World Cup. And, you know, and Fiona's really touched on it. The last time when we won the World Cup in 2014, in 2015, we lost and it was against Ireland. So, you know, and I remember that score was 11-8, I think. So, yeah. You know, so it does really highlight how hard it is to win after a World Cup, because you've got on this massive high, your team goes through this transition, people get, you know, retired, injured or pregnant. So there's things that happen. So I do think for this England team, their big focus is they are going through transition, and actually, can they keep it together to ensure that they can get that success that they want to get? But all the teams are becoming more competitive, and but every team is also going through their transition as well. So this Six Nations, it's almost like you sort of can predict it, but then at the same time, I don't think you can fully, because there are lots of interesting moving parts that make this tournament much more interesting after World Cup, because everyone feels like they've got a chance. And like Fiona's already said, people will feel like England are quite vulnerable now, and maybe there's a chance to take them out.
Yeah, this it's an interesting one to kind of go back to what actually happened that day in 2013, Fiona. I'm sure it's a memory that you're more than happy to actually engage in, like to take down a team who look so invincible within the Six Nations confines is a pretty big step to take. What can people learn from that? Like, what was your motivation going into that game other than trying to take down a giant? And how do you manage to maintain that level of belief going up against an England side who had consistently beaten you before that?
Do you know what? In 2015 in particular, I think it was that fear factor left in 2013 when we had that win. Obviously, that was huge for us. And then we went to the World Cup and England obliterated us. Obviously, we had a big win against the All Blacks. But I feel like, Owen, it's that belief and that around. I know times have changed and high performance is huge now and, you know, different to our day. But certainly, I feel like it's that belief and the fear factor, because we've always feared against England and New Zealand. It was something that it wasn't spoken about, but you just felt it in warm-ups in certain different areas. And I remember after that World Cup in 2014, we actually looked at the players had left and, you know, where we target and the areas that we a lot of our players had still stayed on. We obviously lost Fiona Coughlin and a couple of big leaders, but there was the majority of us stayed on. So we targeted areas that we were really good at when we played them in the World Cup. Obviously, there was only a few, but it was something that we looked at, and we really went after it with a belief that we could do it. And that fear factor, as I said, was out the window. And sometimes it just takes a performance, an early knock-on, an early scrum penalty, just tiny little moments in games can actually just move the shift in balance in one way or another. And when a team start to believe, I mean, and they have the skill set, I suppose, and the physique and the fitness to go with it, it's very, very hard to stop that in progress.
Yeah, it must be a real motivation for this England team now, Maggie, to try and stake their claim as one of the greatest teams in world sport. Full stop. To sort of garner the same reputation within their sport that the peak of the All Blacks would have had when they won back-to-back World Cups. Like, because that's what they're on the cusp of doing, and maybe people will argue it's hard to motivate yourself when you've conquered everything and you've just come off the back of a World Cup. They can win the next World Cup and they can, you know, do 8 in a row for the first time and win a Six Nations after winning a World Cup, which will be a new ground as well. There's a couple of more boxes to tick, but they're right on the edge of not only being one of the great teams, but possibly the greatest team ever.
Yeah, you're absolutely, absolutely right on that one. I mean, John Mitchell said that he doesn't want this team just to leave a legacy. He wants them to leave a dynasty, I think it was what his correct words were, which is kind of interesting in terms of what their motivation is. It's to leave a lasting mark that will have an impact for generations to come. And, you know, he does also talk about making sure these players stay grounded, because you're absolutely right. There are still things that they want to tick off, you know. But once you've won a World Cup, and if I'm really honest, once you win a World Cup, it's like climbing Mount Everest. I'm not like I've done it before, but climb Mount Everest, and then you've got to go, all right, are we going to climb Mount Everest again? Like, we've got to find a new peak, a new goal, and we've got to find a goal that's shinier and slightly better, which sometimes can be quite hard. So even though you can talk about what's motivating you, sometimes it is quite hard to sort of put that out in practice because you sort of done it before. But I guess their big goal will be to hopefully get another Six Nations title, to potentially get lots of players in the Lions tour, but then also to win a World Cup, you know, in 4 years' time. So they've got things they're still working towards, but it is hard to be motivated again. But for a lot of these players, you know, that you can see the hunger in them, especially Meg Jones. I mean, she's an incredible athlete, has been outstanding in the Premiership Women's Rugby League. And to see her as captain, I truly believe it's a new era, even though, you know, Zoe Stratford is obviously out pregnant. I think Meg Jones will bring this new, almost sort of nastiness about England to I'm not saying that England are nasty, they're very, very polite side, but she'll bring that, I think she'll bring that out in these players, and I'm intrigued to see how she leads. That's the thing, you know, leading from the front is one, but actually what's your composure, what's the words that you say to the players, how do you relate to John Mitchell, and how do you relate to the officials as well, because that does have an impact on the day. So I'm excited about seeing how she sort of takes this England team forward.
Fiona, your thoughts on this England team moving from one of the greats to the greatest team?
Yeah, look, I actually think it's interesting as well, because obviously we've seen a settled England team for a long time. If you asked me, I could nearly tell you 1 to 15 before it was ever picked, because they were the players that were tried and tested, stuck with, players in form. Obviously there was a couple here and there, but what's interesting about this is it's a completely different, the guys, some of the girls that were on the bench now are getting a chance to start. So you got Lucy Packer, you got Holly Aitchison, and I feel like that's where the hunger will come from. It's the Meg Joneses, we know how good they are. They've been there, they've done that. Obviously, I played most of my career on the bench. I was behind Fiona Coughlin, so I understand the hunger of when you were finally given a start. And there is a lot of pressure because you put it on yourself to try and go out to make an impact, that you can hopefully get another start coming up, so, or even get more game time based on what you do out in the pitch. So looking at that, I mean, you've got like Kelsey Clifford, there's just tailing, there's just players there that have been there, thereabouts, kind of in and out of the squad. So it's going to be interesting to see how they bring, what energy they can bring to this team. We know England have a really good structure. They've a really good kick in game, their shape, everything about them. But even Hannah Botterman would be huge to that physicality in the pack. Just bringing that energy, even if England were kind of flat sometimes and she'd started on the bench, she'd come on and kick in that energy. So I think in the pack in particular, it's going to be interesting seeing who stands up and who takes the lead, because we're so used to seeing certain players do it.
It does sound, from what Fiona's saying there, Maggie, that all the changes that are going to be necessitated coming into this game, whether it's injury or pregnancy or retirement, that this England team is unperturbed by that. The strength and depth is just going to be shown tomorrow. This is an incredibly strong 15 that's going to be lining out at Twickenham.
It is a strong side. Quite interesting, before this interview, I did listen to Jess Breach talk on the radio, and she said John Mitchell's also made these rotations to give those players that didn't start in the World Cup final a chance to experience being in front of 75,000 people, which is really interesting as well. Like, it emphasises the depth that this England team has, but also he wants them to understand the pressure, the exposure, and you've got to learn now. If you don't learn now, when are you going to learn? And it's about building towards the four-year cycle, but also knowing that they're going to play against a very good Ireland side. They're going to be put under pressure. Dara O'Brien loves to kick, so I expect there's going to be a lot of high balls. Yeah. So it's going to be one of those games where he's made lots of rotations. Yes, England probably go in as favourites. I hate to say it, Fiona, but they probably go in as favourites.
Yeah.
but they can't rest on their laurels. Like, the reality is they know they can't rest on their laurels, and I guess maybe that's what John Mitchell's instilled in these players. Yes, you're world champions, but at the same time, now there's a target on your back. There's always been a target on England's back, but even more so now that you're world champions, because who wants to be the first team to take the world champions down? And I guarantee Ireland will be up for that challenge. So they can't rest on the laurels. I also think tomorrow won't be a perfect game. You know, both teams have obviously playing club rugby and stuff and with the provinces, but the reality is, you know, it's the first international match since the World Cup, and it's going to be rusty, and especially with the pressure of 75,000 people there, I think we're not going to see the most entertaining first 20 minutes at least, but I think people will find their flow and then it'll start to get there. So we can't judge either team in terms of being perfect, but it's about putting in a performance they feel proud they can build on, because, you know, like in any Six Nations, men or women's, it's about having a good start and building that momentum.
The big talking point, I think, that's broken through outside the sports world, Maggie, is Cliona Maloney-MacDonald and Claudia Maloney-MacDonald going up against each other at international level for the first time. It's a bit of trivia, like, but do either of you have any experience of wives going up against each other at international level? Like, it's happened in so many other sports. It's happened at club level, but at international level, you would think that it would be a much more difficult thing. So I'm not sure if you've got any answer to that trivia question, or if it literally is the first time we've seen it.
Yeah, the only bit of trivia I'd have is what's her name playing with France, wasn't it? They were both competing for the same position at nine, and then Sansu retired, wasn't it? That was mad. Imagine going home and you're both going for the same position. I'd say interview her, but certainly, yeah, I'd know Cliona well, and it's obviously her 50th cap as well, so it's huge for her. But it's mad to think, you obviously have to park it when you go park it when you go into camp, and obviously and Cliona, she'll go hell for later. And Maggie, you'd probably know Claude, I'm sure she'd be the same anyway.
Absolutely. I think there's probably been not so much married couples, but there's probably been lots of people who are partners who have played against each other at international level and at club level. I don't think that's, if I'm probably honest, not that uncommon in the sense of some of the players competing against each other. But when you go international, it is a different, you don't care who's in front of you. You don't care how close you are to them. It's the different jersey. So I think, if anything, they're going to want to look to make the biggest hits on each other. They're going to want to, you know, make sure one of them knocks on. But you do still have their support and their backing, but you do want to make sure you put in a good performance because you're up against your other half, so you want to put a good show in, really. So I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, from an Ireland standpoint, Fiona, I think Aaron King going out captaining the side for the first time is just a brilliant storyline, and I think if Ireland are going to win this game, they're going to need that unbelievable back row to really step up on the day, and it's great to see her back in action alongside Brittany Hogan and Aoife Wafer.
Yeah, what a really good, you know, I was looking at that, obviously England have unbelievable players, but when you look at England's back three, you've Ellie Kildow and you're just Claude McDonald, you're like, wow. But I get that when I look at that Irish back row, I think they're unbelievable. I've seen Erin and I've spoken about her so many times with you on different shows at that under 18 level. She was absolutely phenomenal. And I watched her week in, week out play whenever I got a chance to see her. And there's just something special there. And for her to go through that, where you thought she might never play rugby again and come back, just shows her character, and that transfers into everything she does on the pitch. I mean, all the girls just rowing behind her. She's a really good person, but she, I'm sure she's just not talking and talking and talking. She leads by example. She's one of those leaders, and she's like an energizer bunny everywhere. I saw her in the Celtic Challenge and it was lifted to another level. She was obviously delighted to get back on the pitch. I was coaching Belvo, which would have been her club. I was praying we might get her released for one or two games. She would have been unbelievable. But certainly to have someone like that, she's so young, for her to be captain just shows how much everyone else around her respects her. I'm sure she'll be absolutely great with referees, and the management must trust her with that decision making factor when it comes to on field stuff as well. Obviously they'll have a leadership group there to help her, but certainly as a player, I think, and that back row, I think the balance is brilliant. You've Aoife Wafer, you know, those big carries. Erin is doing all that donkey work, and Brittany Hogan is the same. She's an exceptional workhorse.
Maggie, your thoughts on the likes of Erin King and Aoife Wafer?
Oh my God, I looked at the head-to-head matchups, I was like, oh my God. I always go to back row because I think the back row are the best positions anyway. Obviously, the hooker as well. But you do look at the matchups and it's absolutely exciting. You know, Wafer versus Matthews, that's going to be brilliant. King versus Sadia Kabea, oh my God, that's great. And then you've got Brittany Hogan versus Maddie Fenati. You know, these are what I like about both back row combinations is that they're very fluid players. So they like a bit like what we've seen in the men's game, you know, you've got players who can play in the back row and second row. So they sort of like can interchange and it's not a back row or second row anymore. It's just a back five. It's like anyone can play anywhere. And that's what I feel like with both back rowers. They're almost could play six, seven, eight. They can play across the back row and they could slot in easily in the second row and they could be jumpers. And I think for Ireland in particular, your back row is so mobile, so dangerous and are hungry. So it's going to be really exciting to see how they go against England. England, it's quite interesting. You know, we talk about it. You know, we've lost three second rowers who are our main jumpers. You know, Rosie Gallagher and Gallaghan has stolen many balls. You look at Zoe Stratford and Abby Ward. They're our go-to in regards to our lineouts. So it's going to be fascinating to see how our back row are used in that as well. We've got a strong second row partnership, but actually when you think about, we're going to need more. So Fenati will probably be used as a jumper quite a bit. And I would imagine, I mean, Sadi goes up every now and again and Matthews. So the back row will be quite lent on quite heavily to offer more jumping options. But the last time England and Ireland played to each other in the Six Nations, I think Ireland's lost five lineouts. So England will see that as an area to try and target.
Fiona, when it comes to Ireland and the big picture stuff in this year's Six Nations, it seems that the simple way to break it down is that the expectations for a win don't really exist tomorrow, but the three home games against Scotland, Wales and Italy, the expectation is absolutely to win all three of those, given the venues of those fixtures. And then it comes down to the France game, where on the road, it might be a big ask for Ireland to finally break their duck against the French. However, they have come so close, not least in that World Cup quarterfinal last year and such a heartbreaking defeat to the French, that there might be a bit of expectation on that one as well, and maybe actually getting four wins privately could be the target in this Ireland setup.
Oh, it 100% is on. You have to move it on. We've been saying all the home games for the last 3 or 4 years. And with this French team, I'm actually so excited to look at them because they've like six debuts on the starting 15. He's come in, he's changed. I would imagine the whole style has changed, that kind of big ball carrying French team. Obviously they still have units that can do that, but I with this new look, young, there's a lot of teenagers he's picked. I think there's nine in total on the squad there. It's going to be interesting to see, because I would imagine their whole style of is going to change. He was the coach of Canada, Maggie, wasn't he, when we were in that World Cup in 2014, and they played against you in that final, and as a coach he's unbelievable. But what I feel about France is, yes, it is away from home and it's very, very hard, but this would probably be the year you'd catch them because they're trying different things out. He, as I said, six debutants against Italy tomorrow. Just seemed to me like they lost their identity a little bit in the last year. You know, when you think of France and how they play, they weren't playing that way. And I couldn't understand... you know, where was the ball going to go? What was going to happen? They were just really unpredictable. Could come up with some big performances, but could be terrible at times, where he's in now trying to give that bit of stability. So I feel like this group, obviously performance in Twickenham would be huge. And on the back of that, they would be eyeing up that French tie, all dependent on how things go together with their first couple of games.
Okay. Maggie, I guess when it comes to giving us the forecast on this England Six Nations, the bar is so high at this point that it's a grand slam or relative failure for this England setup. Even if they win the championship and lose a game, it kind of feels that they won't settle for that. They want to win every single one.
Yeah, they will. I mean, they might not say it openly, but that'll be what they'll be saying privately. You know, our big target is to win every game, win a grand slam, win the title and put on big scores on every team. That would be something that would be driving them, and they'll truly believe that they can do that. They've got good depth. I think that's the big thing. They've got good depth. So it's about trying to make sure John Mitchell can rotate players, but keep them hungry, but also have that healthy competition within the squad. I think that's going to be a big key for them. And they'll see every game as a challenge. Like no game is an easy game. Let's be frank about that. But that they'll be aiming to try and build, and obviously they'll be looking at that last France game as well as a you know, for them, they start hard against Ireland, 75,000 people, and then they play France in France, which will probably be another big sellout crowd as well. So I think they'll be thinking ahead and thinking about how do we ensure that we maintain our standards, because they've got their standards they've set and they're not going to want to drop.
Yeah, it's going to be a great few weeks. Rugby and Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing. You've been listening to Maggie Alfonsi and to Fiona Hayes. Folks, thanks a million for joining us. Enjoy tomorrow afternoon. Hopefully you won't fall out as a consequence of whatever goes down at Twickenham.
Never.
No, never.
Cheers, folks.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers.
The Six Nations on Off the Ball
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of the Irish women's rugby team. Never stop competing.
This is News Talk.